Strategic plan and stuff.
So the Discovery Bay CSC regular board meeting is now called to order.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect all members are present.
Okay, now is the time for public comments on any subjects that is within the district's jurisdiction and not on the agenda. Did I say anything more? I don't see any, so I'll close that public comment section. On the C1 and 2 consent calendar, any clarifying questions from the board? Any comments from the public? There are no comments. Do I hear a motion?
Move approval of consent calendar.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? I understand that Leah is not here today, so we'll move on to the sheriff's office. Lieutenant Foley? Or Tony?
Or both.
Good to have you back.
Everybody come on up.
Okay.
Well, good evening, Board. Lieutenant Foley, Sheriff's Office, with our report for the prior month. During the month,
Yeah, 389 calls for service, which are 29 reports for last month.
So we have those numbers. The deputies out here did, I apologize, I dropped my folder, which jumped everything I had. While I'm looking, I'll give you an update. So in regards to the LPR program, the license plate reader, we have received the Caltrans approval to use the their poles and spaces and all like that. We are seeking appropriations from the board of supervisors, and that should go before them in about 2 weeks. And then Captain Borderly is pulling the appropriate permits to get that going. So we are making good progress there. In regards to the move to the rental station, we are having we've got it going. They've worked, logged in 9 days already of the 90-day projected days needed to complete the work. So we're good. We're a good amount into it. By Tuesday, we saw there is progress. There's holes in the walls. There's wire being pulled. Final plans. So it is a real living project right now. So we're excited about that. In regards to the calls for service, as Tony said, the number, and most of the calls, we've got a good number of 911 hangups, which we respond out there. They're usually someone playing with a kid playing with a phone or someone accidentally dialed 911, so nothing really materialized there. We had some alarm calls, about 37 alarm calls, so we're averaging a little more in 1 day, false alarms, audible alarms. Nothing really looked out of the ordinary in regards to trends. Those trends that are appearing to show appears to be a pretty normal month for us. In regards to the reports, there were some crimes that, let me see here, the reports. So in regards to the reports that were drawn, we had thefts from vehicle, I should say. With missing adult, runaway juvenile, suspicious circumstance. Nothing that really garnered any attention that would attract attention of the general populace. Mostly individual crimes, but nothing in trend or anything. So, with any questions, on that?
I just had one question.
Yeah.
Towards the end, just so I get my head around a little bit. But mentally ill commitment. So that's, you've actually taken someone and put them into an institution?
No, it's not. That's just the terminology. It's referred to, commonly referred to as 5150, the Health and Safety Code, the IHS 5150, actually, Welfare Institution Code 5150. It allows us to, where we get called to a situation where someone is not acting right? They're acting out aggressively towards themselves or aggressively towards others. So they're deemed to be a danger to themselves or others because of a mental issues going on. So what that allows us to do is to take away their freedom at that point. We transform to the PES, which is psych emergency, at the county hospital. At that point, they're assessed by the mental health professionals and determine if they are truly a danger to themselves or others. If they are, they can be held up to 72 hours under that law. But if they need further treatment, the doctor can submit paperwork. A little further than what I know, but for a 14-day hold for further assessment. Most of the time, they go there. They're there 2 to 3 hours. They're deemed to be
calm down,
or not really being truthful of what they're trying to say. I hate to say it, sometimes they just need attention, and they get it. So that's what those holds are.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then with that being said, oh, any other questions?
Yeah, I just had a question.
Yeah.
CVC mover and not mover?
CVC mover is a violation. It's a moving violation. Stop sign, basically the vehicle's in motion. Stop sign, speeding, turn signals, things like that. And non-mover is equipment. Registration, vehicles, blinkers aren't working, headlights aren't working, license plates, things like that. So vehicle in motion is vehicle in motion versus not motion. One is a point, the other one's not a point.
Thank you.
And with that said, Tony's got a sales pitch for you. You guys remember Tony, right?
Tony who?
Hey, guys. All right. Good job, there, Lieutenant. Yeah, February looked good. The calls, the reports are down. Of course, a lot of rain helps that, too.
So. Wind and rain will keep them.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Working on a Citizens Academy. It's going to be starting up. The first day of the Citizens Academy will be March 27th. So we're going to have 8 Wednesdays from like 6 at night to about 8:30 at night. That's the time frame. There's 8 Wednesdays in a row, and then one Saturday we have it. It's a great opportunity for the community members. There's an application that you guys have to fill out. It's a small background check. Got to make sure who's coming in and, you know, doing this. But if you look at this flyer that I got, there's flyers on the back table right there. If you go to our website, cocosheriff.org, and if you go where it says Community Information, Community Services Crime Prevention Unit, you'll see it. So you'll see the date. Fill out that application and you email who it says email, and we'll get in touch with you, and all the information will be there. I can't stress enough how this is such a great program. If you're available to do it, please do it. I'll be there, the resident deputies, you'll see them. It's a great opportunity. You'll get to meet the men and women who serve with the Sheriff's Department. You'll meet every department of the Sheriff's Department. There's an hour and a half block of each part of the department that will be in the Citizens Academy, and you'll be one-on-one with them. You can raise your hand, ask questions. You'll be taught about the department. There's tours, the jail, the courts, more dispatch radio. You'll do traffic stops with the resident deputies. You'll spend a day at the range. You'll do some one-on-one training with the officers, SWAT, everything. So it really opens it up. The feedback I get from everyone that goes through it, it just opens your eyes about what the training and what what these officers go through, and what they have to do with respond to calls and everything else. So if you guys could, or you do have the time, please think about it. Pass that information along to everyone too.
Hours and location. How long is it? How long is it? A full day commitment?
It's not full day. It'll be about 6 o'clock at night to about 8:30 at night on Wednesdays, Wednesday evenings.
Good.
And there'll be one Saturday that's going to start around, I believe, eight in the morning, or I think it's 9 in the morning till 3 p.m. And we will feed you for the Saturday. We'll barbecue some burgers and stuff over at the range. And we always supply drink and fruits or little snacks or something for us.
Where's it going?
The Wednesday nights are usually going to be either, depending on where we're going to be at. If we're at the jail, obviously we'll meet at the jail, or most of the time we'll be at our Fuel Operations Bureau over in Martinez, or depending on where we're going to be at, emergency services or dispatch or wherever else we're going to be holding that class. All right, guys?
Good.
And is it sequenced, the Wednesdays?
Wednesdays is going to be starting on the 27th of March. It's going to be every Wednesday. And I think it's like the second to last or third to last class will be that Saturday.
And I say that because any board member might have a conflict.
I know. And that's the, that's probably why you won't see us on the Wednesdays too. So we'll go from there.
Oh, thanks, Tom.
All right, guys. Thanks.
CHP, I do not see unless that's in what.
Nope, no, I haven't. You want me to CHP?
Nope.
Want me to CHP then?
So I'm going to move on. Chief, come on up. ECCFP.
There is the last one.
Good evening, board. I have the operations report for you and a couple of follow-up reports that we discussed over the last few months. So I'll hit those in order. So, in the month of February, there were 48 calls for service and discovery day, and that response time at 9:51, and I'm happy to report no major incidents in discovery day. For the month of February, district-wide, we ran 568 calls. That was actually an extremely slow month for us. We were off by about 100 calls, and we attributed to the weather. Average response time is 7:57. That included responding to 4 residential structure fires, 1 commercial fire, 2 vehicle fires, 2 vegetation fires, and 4 exterior fires. Yes, we did have a vegetation fire on the back island. And when it was all said and done, it actually charred up about 15 acres of land back there. And this is what we were trying to remember, trying to remind people. We are starting to do our pre-planning here in the next month for wildland season. That's just something we do on the fire side. We usually hit it in March. With the amount of rains we've gotten, we're getting a lot of new growth under a lot of old dead growth, and a lot of that old dead growth isn't coming back. So we're still looking at some potential fire issues even during the winter months. On a day that's not raining, the dry stuff is still dry, it'll burn. So we do ask everybody, like we do every month, keep your weeds down, and if you see plots of land, please report it to the district so we can take the appropriate action in getting a weed abatement set up for those plots of land. We also responded to 17 vehicle accidents, with 4 of those requiring rescue, and then 3 vehicle versus pedestrian accidents, and 1 motorcycle accident. So, I want to jump back to 2018. This was requested by the board the last 2 meetings. For 2018, there were 633 total calls in Discovery Bay for purely medical calls, and I'll explain that as calls that come in that are like a chest pain, a shortness of breath, things that are just requiring an engine and an ambulance. That was 464 of those 633 calls, which accounted for 73% of the call volume. Now, what I did though was I also put a separate number in here. If you add vehicle accidents in Discovery Bay, autos versus pedestrians, things like that, that jumps. Even though those calls come in a little bit different, in the end, they're really an EMS call. Somebody gets hit by a car while they're riding a bicycle, they still need to go to the hospital. So that actually jumps up to 498 of those 633 calls, which is approximately 78.6% of the call volume in Discovery Bay are EMS-based in nature. Overall, the district-wide percentage is 66%, so you're hovering about 10% higher for EMS calls in the town of Discovery Bay. I also did some of the stuff on the vehicle accidents. I'll talk about those after I finish this paper up. One nice thing that some of you may have seen come out in the paper, we have been approved to hire 6 additional personnel. I will caution that is not to upstaff another station. That is purely what we like to call succession planning personnel. Between this month and a year from now, we expect a slew of retirements. So we had to get board approval to start getting the process of hiring these people now. So when those retirements happen, we have the personnel on board ready to go. We don't have a gap there where we just don't have enough employees. We hope to have those personnel on by July 1st of this year. We also expect another massive round of retiring in 2023, so we'll be looking at probably doing the same thing by next year or the year after at this time. Yesterday, we interviewed our fire marshal candidates, and we will have a final decision by the end of this week of who that will be. So it was a long day, but we got some really good candidates. I'm happy to report, but that's all I can report at this time. I did bring some flyers for the volunteer ceremony I mentioned last time. I left them on the back table over there, so if anybody here wants one, they can grab one. Again, just want to remind everybody, April 13th, 10 a.m. in Knightson, our volunteer firefighter recognition ceremony. Should be a great event. And then I also brought some flash drives. I gave them to Ms. McCool. The flash drives are for you. They have our strategic plan on them, our action plan, everything we've been doing in the last year. So please check them out at your own leisure. You can print them up, do whatever you want, but they're your flash drives to have. If you have any questions about any of the info in those drives, feel free to give Chief Helmick a call. He's more than happy to answer questions about that. All right. Long-winded. Going on. So I printed this up. I'll give you guys copies of both of these. So vehicle accidents are really a hot topic in our end of the world here. Not just Discovery Bay. Byron has concerns. Oakley's got concerns. At about the six-month mark, I had reported that our vehicle accidents were trending upwards by a significant percent, and I was obviously going to keep track of them for the rest of the year, and I did. Here's going to be a surprise for you. We actually ran less overall vehicle accidents in 2018 than we did 2017. So let me start. 2017, there were 484 vehicle accidents district-wide, and 97 of those were accidents with rescue. Now we jumped into 2018, we had 457 accidents, 123 of those were accidents with rescue. So while we saw a 5.5% decrease in overall vehicle accidents, we actually saw a 27% increase in accidents with rescue. That's huge. That is a large number to jump in a 1 year span. So really what that's saying is in 2018, one out of every five of our accidents were rescue. Now we're down to one out of every four, and we're trending towards one out of every three. I'd like to remind everybody, just slow down. Obey the speed limits. It's a lot of it has speeding, a lot of DUIs, a lot of accidents here are just getting worse and worse. We're seeing it every day. Matter of fact, on my way in here, I had to drive around. There's an accident this evening at Walnut and Eureka, and just on the outskirts of Brentwood, with poles down and everything. So I have that report for you. Obviously, I'm going to keep track of it again this year because it's just one of those things that we got to work all together and try and fix this problem. We just got too many accidents in this area. So there's that, and I'll give that to her so you guys can take a look at that. Obviously, keep that. I also brought our end of the year operations report. I mentioned that the last meeting that I'd had some crude numbers, and they'd be available approximately 2 days later. So what we saw is for 2018, we ran 7,719 calls district wide, which was a 2.5% increase. That was about 643 calls a month on average, so about 21 a day on average. However, to run those calls, it took almost 9,600 pieces of apparatus to do. So what we like to say is when we get a structure fire call, that's four or five engines that are getting called to the one call. Each station counts it as their call. We like to call that rollouts. So we're starting to trend towards our engines basically running 10,000 incidents a year on them to handle the 7,700 calls. It's a lot, and it's getting busier and busier every day, except for this month, it was slow. That is my report for the evening. I try to keep it brief, and I am available for questions.
We talked a little bit about it, and I know I get these numbers when I go to the CCFP meeting. Part of the reasons that we have discussed, and I'm sure you're going to research these for the emergency, is the accidents are more severe. I see a lot of rollovers, but in the 20 years that I've been here, the thing that I've seen is they've improved Balfour, yes. Making it a lane that can go faster, even though the speed limits stay the same. They did Highway 4 bypass, and it's grown. They've increased the size of that. A lot of accidents on Highway 4, but I think it bleeds over into the side streets too. So, I don't know what the fire department can do, but I think working with law enforcement and trying to figure out how to slow traffic down is an important thing in this district.
I know I talk to CHP quite a bit. Donnie's usually here for meetings, and it'd be nice to have 100 CHP officers out here pulling people over to get them to slow down. They just don't have the power to do it. They just don't have the people, and just like we don't. And that's why when we tell people we need more bodies, this kind of stuff we're talking about, especially on CHP's end, and obviously I'm not speaking for them, but they have an incredibly difficult job to do just with what's going on out in this area, and I'd love to see more CHP officers out here, just like I'd love to see more sheriff officers and firefighters. We just need more bodies on all fronts out here, and you're absolutely right. I see a lot of speed being a factor, a lot of alcohol being a factor in the wrecks when we show up on scene and have to, cut people out of cars. And people just got to slow down. And another thing is don't drink and drive. Use an Uber, use a Lyft, something, But yeah, you're absolutely right.
A tough topic.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, on into G1, business and actions. First, G1 is discussion of possible action regarding the electronic message board.
Yes. As you know, we have a mobile electronic message board, and we're soon to have, I hope, a stationary message board. Last Monday, I went to the zoning administrator hearing on a land use permit. Was finally granted for us to begin construction to put the stationary message board out by along Discovery Bay Boulevard, and we felt it was appropriate to have a message board policy to accompany both of these. These went through the internal operations committee and the communications committee, and they both recommend the attached message board policy that's part of your packet. Available to answer questions.
Clarifying questions from the board. Seeing none, I'll open it to public comments. And seeing none there, I'll bring it back. Any discussion?
Yeah, in the communications committee, we discussed having some hours, and that's in there from 6:30 in the morning to about 11:30 at night. We felt that if somebody's driving back in at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, probably aren't going to be paying attention to that, or they shouldn't be paying attention to it. So, anyway, that was our suggestion, and the staff took that into consideration.
Yeah, the Internal Operations Committee also looked at it and just kind of looked at procedural issues in terms of making applications, whether it was a district-sponsored event, a co-sponsored event, or other event. And I thought with the with the process that's been set up, with knowing exactly what's going to be out there, I think, good guidelines for people that want to use the sign board. This is a good way to move forward.
Okay. If that's it for discussion, do I hear a motion?
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Carried. On G2, discussion of possible action regarding the pre-annexation out of boundary service agreement with regards to Newport Point
development. Yes, as you know, Newport Point development's been on the books and approved by the county for quite a while. It stalled some time back before I got here, and we now have interest that it's being revived, and there's new owners on the project, and they want to move forward with a request from us to provide water and wastewater services to the 67 homes that will be on site, which will be located just off Newport Drive and Newport Court, across from Newport Court there. And if you look at your map, the location is actually outlined down there for you. That current location is outside our current boundary lines, and in order to move forward with that, we need to make application and work with LAFCO to get those boundary lines changed. We have capacity to provide water and wastewater services to the project, and what this does is pre-annexation out of boundary service agreement. It sets up the terms and conditions for us working together to move forward to try to get those LAFCO approvals necessary and begin the process for providing them service as the homes are being built. We also have a representative from Lodgepole, Mike Serpa is here, and I'm sure if you have any questions of him, I'm sure he'd be happy to answer them.
Any clarifying questions from the board? Okay, I'll open it up to public comments, and I have one for Bill Helfrey.
Good evening, Board. I'm Bill Helfrey. 661 Beaver Court. I have some questions on this this approval. Are you allowing any comments or anything for anybody who has opposition to this? I mean, or is it just going through without ever asking anybody else? And I know you can't answer my questions, so I'm going to ask the questions and see if you'll refer them to staff. There's a contribution to a fund established for recreation facilities, and it sounds like, I can't tell from the agreement whether you're opening in a new account for this $247,000 that would come in over the 67 homes. And I wanted kind of to know how much the current development fees or connection fees are at this point to get an idea of what the future revenue might be from the 67 development permits. I understand that those are fairly sizable charges to the developer, which would generate significant cash or income to the town. So I want to know what plans there were for this extra influx of money. The only other real concern I had is you're agreeing to take title or ownership of all what I would call the infrastructure that the developer is going to build. Sounds like the sewers, the water lines, and everything at some point. Is there any kind of a guarantee or warranty from the developer that after you've taken, the town has taken title to all this stuff, and it breaks a year from now with a major problem, is that the town's responsibility, or does the developer have any obligation for continued maintenance? Everything's underground. Who knows if there was shoddy work, there wasn't shoddy work, and is this going to be on the town's nickel, or will there be some kind of a warranty? If there is, I noticed that this thing is an LLC, which easily at the end you pay everybody out, you close the LLC, and there's nobody left. So if you are considering some kind of an indemnification issue, I think you need to get personal guarantees too. Thank you.
Not to put you on the spot, but is there anything you can want to add to those questions in response to
those? Yes, sure.
Hi, thanks for taking the time to look through this. My name is Mike Serpa, and I do represent Lodgepole Investments, LLC. And just for a little bit of the backstory on this, we were the funder. We provided the funding for the prior developer. And downturn came, the prior developer struggled. Lodgepole ended up taking the property back, basically. My individual company, I'm a developer, is Concentric Development Group. So I got together with Lodgepole Investments LLC to take this project through all the conditions of approval that the county had put on it and make this thing a reality. We will either partner with, or we will, we've got a number of home builders that are interested in this, but it's our job, my job in particular, to make sure that we get the final map done in a buildable way so this project is constructible, and that includes creating sewer and water. The questions that were just asked, typically what happens is we do build, the facilities are inspected. At some point they're accepted. And once they're accepted by the city going forward, then the town has maintenance obligations going forward. So that's usually how it works. Yeah. So any other questions on
that? Just for clarification, inspections are done by the county and our town representatives, correct?
That's correct.
I think I was the only one on the board when this thing first went through. At this point back in the day, and there was a lot of talk about extra traffic on Newport, or at least the turning off of Newport, because it's a relatively narrow street. And are you using old traffic studies, new traffic studies? Can we see how you plan to address that with regards to what goes on? Because we've added homes in that area too, and so traffic has got increased on Newport, or is that Newport? And so I just want, it's been so long.
Yeah.
So we probably need to have a little bit of a review too as to exactly what the project, because as you recall, and if you're involved, it went through several different, it started as 112 units something, and it's bounced down to 67. And I just want to make sure that all the things that we discussed 8 years ago or whatever it was, are still valid and being addressed in the current situation.
Yeah, well, this project is, you know, I think I've been doing this a lot longer than I wanted, but probably 28 years. And this project has probably more conditions of approval than most that I've ever seen. Traffic was a big deal when it was studied at the time, and it was heavily conditioned at the time. So the road improvements that are going in that will be delineated in the final map and the improvement plans, which we're doing now, they're all per the studies that were done at the time.
Okay.
So that's the answer to the question.
I mean, it was just a big deal. I don't know if you were in some of those meetings. I'm trying to remember the gentleman's name from Danville that I dealt with.
That would have been Bill Schrader.
Bill Schrader, absolutely. Yeah. He came in here a lot. He got beat up a bit once in a while when he came in by the previous board, not necessarily by me, but nonetheless, we just want to make sure that we're holding true to. I mean, we have, obviously we don't have ladders and doors. We trust the counties holding
right.
you.
Right.
It's between you two, but yeah. We still, as the governing body, I hear, are concerned for our constituents. So.
Yeah. Well, we can't build the project until we have final map and improvement plans approved.
We'd love to see that as soon as you get that.
Those are all based on the conditions of approval.
Yeah.
Which carry all of that commentary and input at the time.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming in. Appreciate it.
Yes, you're welcome. Okay.
Any other questions, Mike? Thank you, Mike.
I do have a question.
I just want to finish with the public comments. Any other? No others. I'll close that.
I have the same question because I don't recall. It's been a long time since we've actually done a development out here that hasn't been approved for a while. What are our connection fee and capacity fee per lot? Do we know that offhand?
Those are set. Those are online. So they're all pre-printed. I don't have them memorized.
Okay.
I have a capacity.
Do you know what they are, Virgil?
They're about $17,000-$18,000
in combined per lot. Okay, thank you. That's all. I just wanted a rough idea of what we were talking about.
And those fees are basically having them buy an equity portion of the district.
And the existing sewage and water.
All the existing
delivery and all that, right.
And then they will start paying their user fees when they connect.
Yeah.
And everything is inspected by the county.
And
thank you.
I just had a question. So I guess it's for staff. At some point, does the board get to see a proposal of what the actual layout of the site's going to look like and what the homes are going to look like and to see if they're compatible with existing structures?
Sure, you can see it. We can get it from the county, but all you are is an advisory to it. It's already been approved.
Yes.
So there's not really much objection you can have. The only objection would be whether or not you want us to provide service to them or not.
The one thing I can say, Ryan, in regards to that, this was painful for the board to go through this procedure and for the developer, however many years ago it was, 8 years ago, and we talked about elevations, we reduced the amount of lots because we felt that there was going to be, that there was too much traffic. When I say we, I'm not necessarily me, but the board, and there was a lot of thought that went into all those conditions of approval, and most of them were accepted. So the previous board did look intensely at this project prior to it going in.
Yeah, I was just trying to understand where we're at in the process, and it sounds like everything's been approved.
Yeah. Any other board discussion? Do I hear a motion?
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Aye.
Thank you.
On to I-1, Sandy Committee Reports, Water and Wastewater Committee Meeting.
We attended a meeting on February 21st. And we had a good update. Engineer Harris provided an update on the O&M manual. We've got two more chapters that staff is reviewing. There's a total of 30 chapters, and I think we're into number 8. As far as the time frame to get it completed, at this particular point, if they continue, it will be done in probably June, July time frame, which is what was discussed. The diffusion process, that's where we exit the treated fluid water back into the river. There's a diffuser at the end of that to help disseminate the water going into the river so it doesn't affect the ecosystem. We're out getting a permit process so we can repair that. It's been a little bit in a failed condition. It still works for a number of years, and we're finally being able to get that addressed. We have an NPDES permits under the Youth Regional Board. We need to provide them with a project timeframe, a financing plan, a finished master plan. That's all in the works. And we also got an update on the PLC upgraded Newport Water Treatment Plant. And we're trying to decide whether we put in we are going to put in another well, but whether we want to put in a well that has a filter system on it, or just put a well in and bring it into the treatment plant, and that's going to affect the decisions. But either to keep our facility here at Willow, or if we do it, and one of the suggestions, it won't affect the building that we currently have and put it out a little further north. So lots of things going on behind the scenes, but it's slow, it takes time.
Okay, thank you. And I'm sorry, I 1B, internal operations.
Yeah, we met on the 28th, I guess, and we spent most of our time on the message board, which was approved today.
Okay. Moving on to general manager's report.
Yes, we had issued the board and managers a 20-year lapel pin for our 20th anniversary. Well, that's come and gone. We're now in year 21, and it's time to...
Going back?
Well, that's a piece of history. You never want to give that up. You were there then. That's what you remember it by. But we felt it was time to issue a new lapel pin. As you can see, I'm wearing it on my coat lapel. And so that you can proudly show your association with the town of Discovery Bay. So I'm going to hand those out to you and then the manager. Things like that, and we have our Discovery Bay pins on. We're proud of where we come from.
That's perfect. Thank you. And anything else?
That concludes my report.
Okay. And any future agenda items? Seeing none, you can adjourn.